Hey friend, welcome back to the Vision Driven Health Podcast, your go-to place for creating healthy habits that last in partnership with God. Have you noticed the trend that's going on with backyard chickens and growing gardens? Have you jumped on the sourdough bandwagon yet? It seems these things are all over social media, and honestly, I think they look super fun. And I may or may not be dabbling in all of them. But really, what is homesteading? What does it mean? And can anyone really do it? In today's episode, I'm super excited for you to hear from my guest how you can start small and get going on your own homestead in partnership with God.
Do you find yourself struggling to consistently implement healthy habits? Do you lack energy, confidence, and motivation because of stress, overwhelm, and shame for having not gotten it together by now? Friend, there is hope and grace for your health. Hey, I'm Robin Ryan McDonald, host of the Vision Driven Health Podcast. I'm a follower of Jesus, a wife, a mama of two, and a seminarian turned health coach. And I'm so excited that you're here. I found myself in my early 20s, captive to cravings and convenience, 20 pounds heavier, super tired, with a face full of acne. I could not figure out how to maintain healthy habits. Until I discovered the power of aligning my choices with God's vision. 10 years and 2 kids later, by the grace of God, I'm still prioritizing my health and feeling amazing. If you are over quick fixes and are ready to feel good in your own skin, then grab a giant water bottle and let's dive on in.
Okay, I hear you. You're feeling way too busy to figure out a meal prep schedule, let alone actually take the time to cook the meal. You're not really sure what to make that is gonna taste good and will actually be healthy, and you just need something that's quick and easy and that the whole family will love. Well, friend, I've got you covered. My team and I created the 20 and 20 recipe guide just for you. It's 20 recipes that take 20 minutes of effort or less. And if you hate having to scroll for forever to get to the actual recipe and dealing with all of the ads that pop up and then change where you are and you have to scroll back down again, well, you're really gonna like this because we made it so that all of the ingredients and the instructions are pulled for you for easy viewing. You can grab this totally free at visiondrivenhealth.com/resources. Friend, this episode is particularly exciting for me because I feel like I am in my homesteading era. And so I'm very excited for today's guest. Today, we have Jocelyn Jennings, who is a fifth generation homestead wife and mom of two with a mission to encourage women to lead healthy, productive, Christ-centered lives for their families through homesteading and learning to be more self-reliant. Amen, amen. Jocelyn believes that anyone can start homesteading and do it God's way to experience less stress and more joy while leading a more simple, natural life. Another big amen to that. In her podcast, The Farm Family Table, she offers biblical encouragement, resources for building knowledge in homesteading skills like cooking from scratch, gardening, and food preservation, and practical tips for faith-based family life. Jocelyn, I'm so excited to have you on. Those are all the things that I care about and am shifting into and wanting to bring into our home and our family. And I'm so excited to have you on. Welcome to the Vision Driven Health Podcast.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here and I'm excited to talk homesteading today.
Yeah, it's so fun. So Jocelyn and I, we're both in the same podcasting mastermind, I guess you could call it. And I saw her post about doing her show. She just released it. And so I'm going to be mentioning multiple times. So you guys got to go listen to her podcast. And I saw that she said, yeah, I'm doing a Christian homesteading podcast. And I was like, yes, like, tell me when you launch. I'm going to listen to all the things. I'm so excited for this. And so I would love for you to share just a little bit about your story and why you're so passionate about homesteading. I mean, your bio, what you're wanting to do with this is so cool and so powerful. How did you get there?
Yeah. So again, my name is Jocelyn. I am a stay-at-home mom to two little girls. They are ages 1 and 3. So they are my world. They take up most of my day, keep me very busy. My husband and I, we live on a farm in North Dakota, and my husband farms commercially, as well as we have our homestead. So, like Robin said, we have an original homestead. So that means my husband's great great grandfather proved up our land in 1887, and we've been here ever since. So we definitely have a lot of history there. But our family is kind of unique in the aspect that most commercial farmers have moved away from the homesteading lifestyle. I mean, if you think about when everybody started, everybody was homesteading. That's what farming was historically. But, really over time, we've lost that. And it's really sad when you think about it that, we have all these farmers that they're connected to agriculture, but, they're so disconnected from producing their own food that they're eating. But luckily, my husband's family has really kind of stayed along with that lifestyle and stuck with, continuing to produce their own food and seeing the value in that. So it's kind of funny because we've come full circle a little bit in that, we started out with homesteading 5 generations ago, and we're kind of back into homesteading in a more modern way too. So I guess you could say I kind of married into homesteading in a way. But I definitely had the interest and desire before I met my husband. So that was something that was on my heart even before I got married. I guess a little bit of my background. My background is in family consumer science education. That's what I went to school for. That's what I had a career in before I got married and had kids and became a
What does
stay-at-home
that
mom.
mean?
Yeah, so in other states, it might be known as home economics. I don't know if that
Maybe
rings any
that.
bells. Yeah, so basically, I taught high school and middle school students life skills like cooking, sewing, budgeting, childcare, all those types of things. So I feel like that set me up really well for moving into homesteading. But I think that's kind of where my passion for cooking from scratch started. And that was my absolute favorite part of my job was when I got to teach high school students how to make something from scratch and show them, no, you don't have to make mac and cheese out of a box. You can make it with real cheese and milk, and it tastes amazing and it's so easy. And just watching them build those skills and have that for the rest of their life. And after I kind of got out of teaching and was home for a while with my girls, it really just sparked my desire to continue that. So with my blog and my podcast, still teaching women how to do that for their own families and in their own lives, building those skills for cooking for scratch and even growing their own food. I think that's such a valuable thing too, to tack on to that. Even though that wasn't my original training, I see so much value in that.
Oh, that's so awesome. I didn't catch that in any of your episodes on your show yet, and I actually it wasn't home ec, and home ec wasn't required at my high school. I don't know how that is in other states or whatnot,
Yeah,
but
it's usually an elective. Yeah.
So I took a cooking class elective though, and I remember the revolutionary discovery that you could make your own salad dressing. And
Yeah.
our teacher showed us how to do like a strawberry balsamic, which is like the most basic thing ever. And like he had us do it with you like literally a Ziploc bag and you throw it all in, like you mash
Oh,
the
yeah.
strawberries like in there or whatnot. And I tasted it and I was like, I might actually eat salad. 'Cause at the time I was the pickiest kid. I would not eat vegetables. I like, if it wasn't Kraft mac and cheese or something like that, I really wasn't super interested in it. So there's a lot that comes from when you cook your own stuff and you realize what you can make and even having a desire to eat it if you otherwise aren't into that. So that's so cool that you were helping students do that. Well, some people might be listening and not fully know what is meant by homesteading. So how would you define homesteading and why do you think it's so important?
Yeah. So I think homesteading in a modern sense is basically the idea that you are producing your own food in some form. So, and that doesn't even have to go as far as, you're raising your own garden and meat, but just the idea that you are taking your skills and you are producing something in your own kitchen for you to eat. So whether that's cooking from scratch, whether that's growing things in your garden, whether you choose to do animals. You know, I think a lot of people associate that with homesteading, but that doesn't have to be the case. Homesteading can look like a lot of different things.
Yeah, and so why would it be important for someone? Because I've grown up in suburbia, like having never grew up having a garden, never had chickens or anything of that nature. We had dogs. That was it. Like I said, everything was so processed. So for someone who maybe is from that context or living in the city, and it feels like I can't. What are some of those things that would still be within that definition of homesteading for those contexts?
Yeah, so I think, like I said, starting in your kitchen, that's the best place that somebody can start with just learning to cook from scratch. I think that is, you know, no matter what capacity you want to do with homesteading, your kitchen is kind of your backbone. Because even if you move on to other things, if you want to do gardening or you want to do preserving, if you don't have that comfort level in your kitchen, it's going to make those other things really hard. You know, you can grow a garden and have a lot of produce, but what are you going to do with it? You know, you can only eat so many fresh tomatoes and so many fresh cucumbers. You got to find a way to use it or preserve it. And if you're not comfortable in your kitchen, you're not going to know how to do that. So, really, that's, I say, square one is starting in your kitchen, getting comfortable with making food from scratch, and just making that part of your daily life and your daily routine.
Amen. Yeah, that's so good. I think, and I in this day and age, I love how you keep kind of distinguishing between like the modern versus how things were. And
Right.
in the modern context, it is, I think, becoming less common to cook most meals. I think what I see a statistic recently where it was like people cook less than 30% of their meals at home. It's, on the go or stuff that they, that are the packaged foods and whatnot. And so that actually is in and of itself kind of revolutionary, let alone, if somebody decides to just try and do a herb garden on their windowsill or something like that. So that's
Right.
it is. And I think for myself, I mean, this world is getting crazy and like at the end of the day, some of us really don't have the capacity to like have food storage. I know you and I were messaging and I was like, so how much food do you have? And you're like telling me, I was like, whoa, that's crazy. I'm like, well, we're actually on a farm. I was like, oh, okay, that makes sense. So I'm like, I'm working on getting like 15 chickens and growing some, like you said, cucumbers and tomatoes. I'm not set
Yeah,
for
well, that's
any kind of
great.
disaster. Yeah. Yes, it
You
is
know, and
great.
I think that's not always realistic either. You know, and I do have a little bit different situation in that this is something our family has done for a while, and there are multiple people involved. You know, it's not just
Yes.
me as a mom saying, hey, I'm going to do all this and I'm going to have a huge garden and, you
Yeah.
know, do all these things. Like, I have help. Like, my husband is involved, but not even that. Like, his parents, his grandparents, his sister, like, it is a family effort
So
for
cool.
us to do all those things. And so that's why I say homesteading can look so different
Yeah.
for a lot of people, you know, because like we do it this way and we're able to accomplish a lot because there's a lot of people involved.
Yeah.
But if it's just you or you and your husband, you know, start small and build up from that and don't feel guilty if it's not, you know, at the same level that maybe somebody else is.
Yeah, that's something I love on your podcast, even though it was funny because you were emphasizing starting small and you're like, just do like three or five like vegetables max and just start this way. And I'd already like sowed 20 different vegetables and like was trying to like grow my little sprouts and the chicken, like we started with 26 chickens actually. And I know, but in our area, so I live in Southern California, which is probably not a place where people are like, oh yeah, chickens and homestead life, but we're in kind of like a rural offshoot city. And so in this area, we're still technically San Diego County, you can only have 15 chickens, no roosters, so just hens. And so we started with 26. Sadly and unexpectedly, five died within the first like couple days, which I don't know how common that is or not. And that's actually another thing. This is completely tangent, but I would love to hear your perspective. In just my little time, we moved to this house a few months ago, and like part of the excitement of this home was we had a little bit more land to do some more stuff like this. And so I'm like, I'm gonna plant 20 different varieties of veggies and I'm gonna get the chickens. And having, well, I had my first set of sprouts that I tried to do. My precious son accidentally dumped them all out. And so it was like, I had, watched them sprout and grow, and I was all excited, and then it was all completely destroyed. And then getting these little tiny precious baby chicks, and five of them didn't make it. Maybe they got too cold on the trip over. They were shipped to us from Iowa. And this cycle of like patience, and this cycle of life and death, and there's just a lot that I'm like, whoa, like there's a lot of talking about how you, I know in your work you do, you bring us back to the word and biblical concepts. Like, I feel like there's a lot to be gleaned about our faith and the reality of life and what God has created in taking on some of these simple things. Even if it isn't, like you said, like even if it is just being in our kitchen and cooking, taking, meat, an animal that had to give its life, taking the vegetables, all these different things that speak to that. I'd love to hear your thoughts on just like some of those lessons or values that we can grasp from, like I said, whether it's as simple as cooking in the kitchen and like using our God-given abilities to put something together, cook it, or whether it's raising those different things. What have you noticed and what do you see in your work with that?
Yeah, so I think homesteading is definitely biblical, and there are a lot of aspects of homesteading that are honoring to God and can direct us kind of towards Him. I think the biggest one is just being able to slow down a little bit. When you are rush, 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 I got to get supper on the table. I'm just going to throw whatever is quick and easy. I got to get the kids to this practice. I have this going on. When your schedule is full and you're just rushing around all the time, it's hard to really pause and listen to God. I think probably one of my best times of the day for me to prayer or be mindful or be with God is when I'm in my kitchen cooking. Like to me, that's kind of like my relaxing place. I'm just chopping vegetables. I'm not doing anything else. So my mind has the opportunity to kind of connect with God in those little moments. So that's one. Another one that I really think is admiring creation. And I think like being in the country, like I'm so blessed to see that on a daily basis. But I think especially like if you don't live in the country or have rural living, sometimes it takes a little bit of intentionality to, like if you have a plant or a garden in your backyard, looking at God's creation, like, wow, this is amazing. This started as a tiny little seed, and now it's a plant that I get to pick and eat, and just how God worked everything together. I mean, it's really just amazing.
No, that's so good and so powerful. The slowing down, that was actually something that my husband and I declared as an intention for this year, is to slow down. I think we're, I don't know, in a lot of ways, the typical Southern California busy people. And I think, especially with our little guys, my oldest is 4 and a half, my youngest is going to be 2 in a couple months. And, thinking of this stage of their life and how valuable that is. And I don't want to be rushing around and miss it. And I don't want to feel like, I'm just speeding through life, achieving the next thing, taking on the next endeavor. And for us having, and our property is not massive. It is like 0.6 acres, which in Southern California actually is really significant. In other states, it's like a patch. But for us, it feels pretty massive. And being able to like have this, I know it sounds probably so weird for your context, and I'd be so curious to hear feedback from people because we have people all over the country and all over the world. But and when I was living at our last place, it was probably a 10 by 6 like patch of grass. That was the backyard where we lived before, and it was turf. It wasn't even real grass. And now having moved here, we've got mature fruit trees, we've got like an actual lawn, there's all kinds of like just foliage and stuff. The boy, like so many places the boys can play hide and seek, and like just getting to so much greenery. And even just when I look out the window and I see just the trees like just swaying in the breeze. And I think of even too planning this garden, and I'm like eager beaver. I'm like, hey, so like these guys are still pretty tiny, which I probably haven't potted them up right or something, which is another factor. But it's a waiting game. And right now our chicks, they grow super fast. It's crazy how different they look, but at the same time, like we're not going to get any eggs out of those little guys for another couple months. And so this whole process of waiting on the Lord and waiting and being in the midst of his creation is for me actually very revolutionary as a suburban person. I also lived in the city for a while too, and it's beautiful. It's really powerful too. And I think there is something about these elements that draw you into God's rhythms. And I really don't actually think that the rhythms I've been living by and that many of us live by are his design.
Yeah, we're definitely a fast-paced society, and we want things now. So it's almost hard to shift back to having that patience of like, I have to wait how long for these seeds to grow, and I have to wait how long until this chicken's gonna lay an egg, but that's how God created it, and I think he created it that way for a reason, because he wants us to have those little pockets of slower times when we can dwell and be with him.
I 100% agree. And I think the more we observe nature, we can get a better insight into his design and into his heart. I even was thinking, I was reading a couple of different psalms and how often it says to wait on the Lord, multiple times. And I'm like, what does that even mean? And I'm carving out the time, to sit and have devotional time, like, I struggle with being this like productive, like, okay, I'm gonna read this much, I'm gonna journal this much, and I feel like God's just constantly like, daughter, daughter, daughter. You just sit. Just sit. Shh. And I'm like, but I gotta, and he's like, no, shh. Just sit. Like, just be with me. And I think that is a great thing about homesteading and an opportunity there. So I know we're talking about, okay, so getting in the kitchen, that's home base. You gotta establish the comfort there. You gotta establish that place. What are a couple of things in the kitchen somebody could, who again, who's just like, maybe I don't know if it's just my feed because I started looking at all this stuff, but I feel like the trend, even like on social media, it's the like trendy thing right now to homestead and to, see the people with the chickens and the gardens and whatnot. But maybe, this person, a listener, is just observing, like they're seeing, like, oh, that'd be so cool if I could ever, like, oh, I never could have the time. And they enjoy watching other people do it. What would be like those simple things, like, hey, you could start with this in the kitchen, and like, what would a couple of those things be?
Yeah, so I think there is a difference between like what we see on social media as like being promoted as homesteading and kind of what it looks like in real life.
Amen.
Because I think if somebody's like, I want to start homesteading, I'm going to get chickens and start sourdough. It's like there's nothing wrong with that, but like that's maybe not the place you should be starting. And I feel like the things you actually should be starting with probably aren't glamorized as part of homesteading on social media. They're really actually pretty basic things. So things like making your own broth, that's a big one for me because, store-bought broth, you don't get a lot. It's water and a little bit of flavor. If you make your own, that is bone broth with real collagen and protein in it. So, a lot of times, like these things, yes, they're healthier when you make them at home, they're cheaper, but you're really elevating the nutrients in the food when they're homemade versus store-bought. So, anyway, broth is one. Like sauces and soups. So, like for example, like cream of chicken soup, cream of mushroom soup, things that are popular in like casseroles or other dishes like that. You can make your own really easily and avoid a lot of the kind of yucky additives that are in some of that stuff. Salad dressings and seasonings. I know you mentioned, the homemade salad dressing, and it was so easy and it was so delicious. But we just forget about that sometimes and go for the convenience of the bottle on the shelf. And then the other thing that I recommend too is just bread products in general. And that could be a lot of different things. Focusing on what your family really likes. So if you really like sandwich bread, like if that's mostly what your family eats, learning to make that. And I know I have to put a little caveat on that when I say easy things, because yeast breads are a little bit more of a learning curve than some of those other things that I mentioned, but it's totally doable and it's totally worth the effort because there is so much more nutrients in there when you make it homemade. You get rid of all the mold inhibitors and the preservatives that are in the store-bought versions, and it's a great way to save money too. So I'd say those are kind of the things that I would recommend starting with, and then you can kind of continue to branch out from there. But those are probably the most revolutionary things. If somebody's not used to cooking from scratch, they're probably going to sit and say, what? Like I buy all those things, So those are probably the big things that it's like, these are maybe some areas that you're missing that they're actually really easy and you can do it.
Yeah, they're such great suggestions. And I think even too, when I guide my clients, because like, a lot of people come to me and they're just like, I don't cook. I don't spend a lot of time either because they feel too busy, or It's just not something they've ever really taken on as a practice for themselves. And I think it can be really confidence boosting to discover what you can make in the kitchen. And like I said in high school, when I discovered the salad dressing, I was like, what? Like, and it did. I think that really set me on a trajectory to feel like, okay, well, what else can I make that tastes really good? And I think if people are willing to fail, really, because that I think that's the whole concern is like, well, I'm gonna try to make this bread. Like you said, it's a learning curve. So you might be all excited, and be like, all right, kids, we're gonna make homemade bread. And you go through all the effort and it turns out to be this like rock solid, like weird thing. It can be discouraging. But I think like there's so much character to be developed in the process of learning and growing and trying things over and over. I think there's so much confidence. And I know you have a lot to say about this because I've listened to your episodes on it. Tell me more about the nutrient density and the health benefits of those, because I would imagine that there's possible. There's some people listening and said like cream of mushroom soup, like that's so bad for you, or like bread products. I thought we were supposed to like eat less bread, or like that doesn't sound healthy. So tell me more about the nutritional benefits when you make those things that have otherwise actually been, yeah, not the best, a healthier option and better for your family.
Yeah, so when you make things homemade, you're able to focus more on whole foods. So, like for example, like you were saying, the cream of mushroom soup. If you look on the back of a can of cream of mushroom soup at the store, there's a whole arm's length list of things on there, and some of them you can't even pronounce. If you make it at home, you're going to have milk, flour, butter, some seasonings, and I guess mushrooms if you want to put mushrooms in it. That's it. You don't need all those other things. So, I actually make a lot of foods that people might think would be unhealthy because they might be, cream based or like just richer in general. But since they're homemade, I'm using real ingredients. They are healthy. I mean, if you break it down, there's really nothing in there that I'm worried about. I'm not worried about butter and milk or, any of those things. So in that sense, when you cut out the artificial stuff, that's a big difference too. And you have an opportunity to choose the ingredients that are going in it too, which is another whole other thing.
Yeah, exactly. And it does make such a big difference. And you think too, I'm thinking about your multiple generations and our society, that everybody had a farm and a homestead because you had to. Like that's where you got your food. And and people were drinking milk and using lots of butter and doing bread. And again, all these things that have been demonized or considered, XYZ, and they were healthy. They moved a lot. They were physically active. They ate from the land or from their animals, and they were well. And now we've demonized a lot of these like more homegrown kind of things. We're super sedentary. We're opting for all of this processed stuff that's supposed to be healthier. Don't even get me started on the vegan meats and stuff. Like it's just, it's horrible. And so I think to take those tiny little steps towards making some things in your own kitchen. I mean, you can make your own mayo, you can make your own ketchup. All those actually are really simple, and you just need like a little blender or whatever, and it's an easy deal. And so, yeah, I think that's fantastic. Jocelyn, I would love to hear, kind of as we're starting to wrap up, if you were to say, all right, if you have no land, you haven't started anywhere, and you wanted to really like, I guess, find some resources from you. What can people get a hold of? Where can they contact you? All of those things.
Yeah, so definitely check out the podcast. It's the Farm Family Table. So I put out weekly content and it's all geared towards beginner homesteaders. So sometimes I feel like there's a little bit of a divide between people who are knee deep in homesteading and people who haven't started at all. So this is really just bridging the gap for beginners. If you are just starting thinking about homesteading and you have not taken a single step, this podcast is for you. I mean, I give a lot of practical application, but I also give a lot of encouragement too. I think that's a big piece of the puzzle because it's so easy to get overwhelmed when you start thinking about all the things that you want to do, or maybe even feel like you need to do. And yeah, it can be a lot. It can get overwhelming really quickly. And so I try to add a healthy dose of encouragement and biblical encouragement too. I like to tie Christ into it and keep us centered. when we're on this journey towards homesteading. So that is definitely an awesome resource. The other resource I would share with you is our website, which is farmfedfamily.com. And you can find free recipes on there. There's gardening tips, and there's some other homesteading resources as well.
Awesome. Yeah, I can totally vouch. So I was a part of Jocelyn's podcast launch, which I loved the first few episodes. I try to catch as many as I can. And I feel like you do such a great job. And it is, it's 100% for beginners. I think you do a great job of explaining. It makes so much more sense that you did the teaching and taught those classes, because you do a great job of really like showing the process. You are encouraging. I even love what you've thrown into. There was one episode, was one of my favorite ones you did. It was one of your it might have been one of your launch ones on how to set your priorities and like where to put your family and all of that. It's just a really good show, guys. So I highly recommend giving it a listen. But thank you so much, Jocelyn, for hopping on, for sharing your passion and your insight and giving your tips. We really, really appreciate it. And friends, check out her show. Give, like, if you try, oh my gosh, if you try some dressing, try some bread, let us know, shoot us an email. If you need some recipes, maybe that's on your website, Jocelyn. I'm happy to share some as well, but we want to see you guys giving it a shot. But otherwise, until next time.
Thank you so much for listening to the Vision Driven Health Podcast today. I hope this episode inspired you, supported you, and blessed you in some way. If it did, it would mean the world if you would leave a 5-star written review on Apple Podcasts and share this episode on your social media. The more reviews and shares this gets, the more people can be blessed and encouraged in creating a Jesus-centered, sustainable, healthy lifestyle. If you want to hang with me and other Jesus-loving ladies who are creating healthy habits that last, be sure to join my free Facebook group, the Made Well Mastermind. Use the link in the show notes to join. Be blessed with hope, joy, and health. I'll see you next week.